to the same boat. Really grateful to have everyone here. We have again Jen and Roy, beautiful couple, and loved your episode together the last season. And I kept asking Roy to see if Jen will come back on. We're gonna start our dating segment, so we might go through a few different parts of this episode, but excited to just kind of talk about Josh Harris and crap on him a little bit. So I read, me and Jen read I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and it messed up a whole generation of dating, including ours.
How old were you when you read that book?
That's a great question. I was in college.
School. Okay. High school for you?
End of high school.
And college for you?
Yeah, as a gift from a friend swore by it.
I see.
I swore by it, and then I propagated it to
the whole junior high group. I gave it to people too. Yeah. As gifts.
It's the first COVID of Christian dating.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
It went viral.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was so appealing.
Were there other dating books prior to that in the Christian culture?
Not too many. There was Boundaries in Dating.
I never even knew about that book until recently.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good book, Boundaries in Dating.
Yeah, that's much healthier.
Much healthier, yes. So, I think he swears that it wasn't meant to be this, but I think the bottom line for me was you're supposed to marry the girl you date.
You date for the purpose of marriage.
For the purpose of marriage. Yeah. But I think the ideal was you date one girl or boy, and then you marry them.
Right.
And so it puts so much pressure, so much pressure on dating relationships. Yeah. And for me, not that, being an Asian Christian, maybe I would have had repressed, really awkward, friendships with sexual tension anyways. But I think Josh Harris made that godly. And so there was just so many friends of the opposite gender over high school and college that I just liked and I was super attracted to. But I thought, man, if I told them, then I would have to marry them. Mm. So I went to five proms without professing, my affection. Let's see, I think 3 in my school and 2 in another school.
Wow.
Yeah, and then as friends, right? We just went as friends.
And you really like them?
I think most of them. Maybe it was a good book for me, because I was a flirt as a friend. So imagine me just being able to just date anyone I liked. And then in college too, I think there was this girl that I was really into. And I just never told her I liked her because I wasn't ready to get married. Yeah. And so instead of having this relationship where we communicated and kind of learned how to date, I just started naming children and thinking about how I'm going to propose. I remember one day, it was maybe third or fourth year in college, and it was spring break. I was like, okay, I'm finally going to ask her out on a date, right? I think I'm ready to marry her. Wow. And so I'm like, hey, it's spring break. Is it cool if we go out and go on a date? And she's like, okay. So she's thinking boba, and I'm thinking Catalina on a helicopter.
Wow.
I'm like, how much does it take to fly someone to Catalina, and what's my credit card limit? And so I'm ready to book our flight and propose. Because Josh Harris said so. Yeah. Josh Harris dashed Jesus. And finally, the date's coming closer, and basically she said she was busy.
Did you already book the helicopter?
I did not.
Oh, phew.
Good.
Oh, and then she started dating someone else.
Dude.
Over spring break.
I think a few months later. Mm. Yeah.
Did that break her heart?
Kind of saying she didn't like me anymore. Oh. It broke my heart, and thankfully it also broke my approach to dating.
Mm.
Yeah. I decided to not just stare at someone sending vibes. Like Roy did.
That was me. That was just me being chicken. That was my approach to dating. I didn't read the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. I just stared from afar, like a creeper.
Like a creeper. Yeah.
And I would imagine, you know, what it would be like to have life, you know, living life with this person. And, you know.
Your imaginary.
And that's how you and Jen got married. So it works. Manifest destiny.
Yeah.
For me, like, I didn't even talk to guys in high school. I mean, I was also very shy. I did go to prom, but then I had this whole, like...
Wait, you went to prom? With who?
Another Korean guy.
Dude, my heart is last broken right now.
But it wasn't until, like, college that I had guy friends, but I still didn't date. And, like...
Was it because of Josh Harris?
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, no, but I don't think I want to marry this guy. He's not, like, he doesn't meet all the criteria. So, you know what? I'm just, you know, I never had a boyfriend. And in retrospect, like, that's so sad, right? College is a perfect time to
it's
have
so
a boyfriend.
So perfect.
Right? Like, you see them, you have common interests, common friends. It is, like, the perfect time in your life to experiment and, you know, learn about who you are in a relationship.
Yeah.
And I didn't. And I feel like I missed that opportunity because of these, like, very stringent religious, you know, code that you're supposed to follow as a good Christian.
I like how you said, you know, learning who you are in a relationship. Because that is different than who you are when you're single.
Or
in a friendship. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of things get unearthed, you know, when you are in a dating relationship that you would never unearth if you were, you know, just by yourself in fantasy land playing Xbox. You know?
Being in a relationship from afar.
Yeah.
In your mind.
In your mind, yeah. In your own mind. Oh, man, my first girlfriend, when she broke up with me, because, you know, I did not know how to be in a relationship. It's like, all of my investment is now wasted. That's what she said. One of her last lines as we departed.
Wow.
She's like,
wait, she said some, all of her investment?
Yeah, and me wasted. Is wasted, right? Because some other girl gets, like, this developed boyfriend that she had to, like, put years into. Yeah, she trained. Oh, poor thing.
Sad.
She's good now. She's married with kids, so I'm happy for her.
I mean, yeah, are there repercussions that you have in mind from the Joshua Harris approach?
Yeah.
I mean, I was too scared to even talk to guys as friends, you know, because, oh, it might result in marriage or something. Right?
Talking leads to marriage.
Yeah, it was so extreme.
Yeah. So like, okay, so did that mean then that, like, I don't know,
so
what is the right word? Like, not developmentally stunted,
no,
but just,
that's true.
Is that what it felt like
so
for you?
So, like, after college, I didn't know what I was doing. Uh-huh. I was, you know, I had no game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, dating, I think, is partially, it is kind of like a game. There are these unspoken things that you do and don't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't
rules.
Know any of that. You know, I maybe became like seemed overly like into somebody or overly just giving all of my heart when that person doesn't deserve it, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah. I think I wasn't able to call like it break up without feeling super guilty. It almost felt like a divorce because of that genre of thinking from the Josh Harris days. It's like, oh man, if I enter into this relationship, there's no phases. There's not the like, hey, let's do a 3-month trial and it's okay to break up because we're only 3 months in.
Yeah.
Or like 6 months. Hey, it was great, but I don't want to be like super serious. I think, you know, we should break up because we probably won't be going into marriage. I felt like if I get on this track of dating with this girl, there are no exits.
No turning back.
Until the finish line.
Marriage. Yeah, that is crazy.
But then the alternative is to be labeled as someone who dates around.
Right.
Right? And that's not fair either, because I feel like there needs to be some way for us to date around without being labeled as someone who dates around. Right? Because... Yeah.
Well, I immediately think of there's this book by Henry Cloud, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. And he talks about a successful relationship doesn't always end in marriage. A successful relationship can end if you learned about yourself more and who you are in a relationship. And that's successful, even if it doesn't end in marriage. And I gained so much from that book. Like, oh, it's okay to... experiment in relationships. I mean, you're not using that person. If you're not hurting them, it's okay to exit. Like, sometimes you're just not compatible, mm-hmm. or you don't bring out the best.
And you won't know that you're not compatible unless you are actually in a dating relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true. And even just being more forthcoming in the relationship, having check-ins and being honest mm-hmm. with where you are, if you have doubts or if you're all in or if you're, you know, trying to exit. I think you can do that healthily through the process of dating and also continue to want the best for that person, right? And maybe that's some of why we keep physical boundaries, because you don't want to go all in too fast. Our physical, you know, connection can kind of drag along our commitment and emotional life without it warranting commitment and an emotional
intimacy. I think it masks like you're deeper than you really are, right? That physical connection mm-hmm. can be a stand-in for like developing emotionally closer.
So hopefully like along the way you're just more honest. I think maybe that was a big shift from my Joshua Harris days, after this girl didn't like me because, you know, she just found out I liked her and I was like vomiting all over her, my affection for 2 years. She's like, whoa, I don't know, this is like too much, right? Mm-hmm. Which it was way too much, way too much. And then I think from then on I said, hey, when I meet a girl and I think she's attractive, I'm just gonna start there. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I feel attracted to you. Like, if you feel the same way, can we just go on a few dates? And that's how me and my ex-girlfriend started dating. That's how me and Nina started dating.
Have they ever said no? Like,
no, that's no.
Never nice.
I was very good looking in college.
Nice. Nice.
Nice. So I felt like I was in a place where I would be more open and more honest mm-hmm. and more okay with things like not working out.
Yeah. That takes confidence and maturity, I think. And that takes guts.
It took longer. I think it was a much healthier place to be.
Like, in my first marriage, I ended up marrying my first girlfriend.
Mm.
And again, part of it is not because of the Joshua Harris thing, but because of the chicken approach to dating. And with the chicken approach, it's also like...
it's going to be a whole, like, hashtag term now. Yeah. This is what puts you on the map.
Yeah. you know, like, you kind of have these one-sided love approaches to people, and you kind of feel like, oh man, like, I keep swinging and missing, and you know, I'm never going to find someone. And so when I met someone who has the qualities that I like and they like me back, you know, you just kind of like fall head over heels. And I think my approach to it was like, I cannot break up, you know, with this person. Even if we were having some like problems, I think my approach to conflicts, it's like there were times that I felt like she was pulling away from the relationship and I couldn't handle that. Right. I felt like, oh no, like this is, if you pull away and we end up breaking up, then I'm doomed for the rest of my life. Right. Mm. So I would have these like passive aggressive moments where as she pulls away, like I'd be, yes, I'm experiencing the pain of that, but I would express it in such a victim way that she would feel so sorry for me that she would come back. And that'd be like, inwardly I'm thinking, yes, you know? But if I look back upon that, like my inability to break up with her when she, you know, she says, I want to pull away. Like I should have honored that, mm-hmm. you know? But because of my own desperation that I couldn't handle that, that's, again, I think that goes back to the fact that I had no experience really in dating.
No game, no balls, just a
chicken approach to dating, right? And I feel like if I were to redo it, I would have grown a pair, and I would have just had your approach, Wilson.
His is the eagle approach.
Eagle approach.
Yours is the chicken approach. Yeah. which swoops down on his victim.
The eagle approach is snatch them, right?
You zone in and you find your target. Yeah.
True.
But, it's really just more like, hey, you know, I think you're really cool. Like, can we go on some dates? Like, you know, I wish I had that kind of self-confidence, but I didn't.
Yeah,
and, but yeah, I, you know, my, I feel like her pulling away from our relationship was kind of a harbinger, you know, later on, where she would pull away from the relationship when she was going through something really, really mentally and emotionally horrible for her. So again, I don't know whether that was like the omen, but I, just looking back, I feel like my approach could have been so much healthier if I just had a more free approach to dating. But I was just in my head so much and lacking such confidence and fearing either rejection or fearing that the dating relationship would end. Like that some sort of apocalyptic thing for me, when it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be kind of a natural thing to expect until you finally find that one person that you really match in so many key ways.
Mm-hmm. So I think maybe normalizing like the end of a relationship is really healthy. I think young people who are dating need to know it's okay if it doesn't work out, as long as, you know, you wish the other person well, you were respectful in your relationship, right? You don't regret like going physically too far.
Yeah.
That's a key thing, because people do have sex so quickly in their relationship. Like that covers over a lot of,
I know.
Like character flaws and
conflict resolution.
You know?
Just shortcut it by like having sex. And I think even in a secular, you know, this might be controversial, but even in secular relationships, like, you're shortcutting a lot of things by moving in together or having sex too early on, and, you know, even on the first date or whatever it is, like, you're not getting to the deeper part of who they are as a person. You're not experiencing their character because you have sex. You feel like you're really close to them.
That's
right.
Yeah, I think the theme, whether it's Josh Harris, chicken, or sex, we hold on to a relationship too tightly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of being willing to let go.
Right. And whether that's our theology. That's an idolatry, I think, of a relationship.
Like, you know? Yeah, whether that's like the theology side, the kind of what Christian model looks like, whether that's a self-confidence thing because you don't think you'll get another opportunity at a relationship, or whether it's fast-forwarding a relationship through sex, and then being like, man, I gave so much of myself to this person. I feel so close, but you don't really know them.
Yeah.
And so you're holding on instead of like having a relationship with open hands that you're evaluating, you're thoughtful about, and that there's exit ramps, because not everyone you meet is going to be your wife or should be your wife or husband.
That's right.
But I think those three approaches assume that you're going to be with this person for the rest of your life.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you were talking about the Henry Cloud book. How would you summarize that?
I mean, I
want to
back up a little bit. Also, I also married my first boyfriend, you know, and there were plenty of red flags that I kept dismissing because I was thinking, gosh, you know, I don't have a lot of dating experience. You know, this guy likes me so much. He's qualified in XYZ ways. If I let him go, like, who else is going to come? I didn't know how to exit when I should have, you know, and that could have like prevented, you know, the divorce too.
It's a big problem.
Yeah, I just think young people need to know ending. That's why Henry Cloud, he says like ending a relationship, a dating relationship, is perfectly healthy. You can count that as a success if you end it well.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, and I guess for me, based upon what I went through, like, I think entering into the dating sphere from a place of desperation is no good.
Yeah.
It completely clouds your ability to like evaluate. And you had a really good phrase that you mentioned earlier, maybe, you know, before we started recording, Wilson, something about like a discovery of...
Oh yeah, I talked about how dating isn't about changing who they are, it's about discovering who they are.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So if it's really more about getting to know someone and also getting to know yourself and evaluating, like, is this the kind of relationship that I want to go on towards marriage? And that's great. That's a great approach. But rather, if it, for me, it was, I'm desperate. And if you're desperate, you know, and you feel like the clock is ticking, you're going to really overlook some things that could bite you in the end.
Yeah. I think about a healthy dating, you know, we talked about it being having exits, being evaluative, not holding on because of desperation. And that's a self thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, are you happy with who you are?
Yes.
Right. Or do you need another person to make you happy?
Right. To complete you, right?
Yeah,
right.
Are you complete in and of yourself?
Right.
Or do you need someone else to complete you?
Right.
So are you going in basically wanting to be codependent?
Exactly.
Right? Well, and wanting, like, when we go into a relationship, of course there's give and take, but is your primary reason for going into a relationship because you're trying to take something?
Yeah. Right.
I want someone to make me happy.
Right.
I want someone to make me feel content. Instead of like, oh, I want to give.
Yeah, I have this to offer you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was during like my divorce where they teach you, you are a complete person even if you're not married.
Oh, so
right?
good.
Right? Like, you can find somebody to compliment you. And I was like, that's what I needed, you know? And so I think that changed my approach to dating post-divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not looking for my other half. I'm a whole person as I am, married or single, right? And I think that helps your dating approach and your mindset be really healthy. You're not looking for somebody. Like you said, it turns really fast into this unhealthy codependent.
Yeah,
I think that's really good.
Yeah, so I feel like maybe, you know, even before dating, it's just really important to be really honest with who you are and where you're at and say, maybe I can still spend more time developing myself to a place where I have something to offer others and I feel satisfied and I'm not desperate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think coming to a place where we are ready to date, thinking through, like, what are healthy ways to approach dating and what are things that we can do to help discover who this other person is.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the easy tips that I think about is, like, I really want to date for a significant amount of time, like maybe a year at least, right, before thinking about engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And over that year, I want to really have clear eyes towards, how angry do they get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, when this person gets angry, like, are they cussing themselves out or someone else out? Like, are they throwing things? What helps them release their anger?
Right.
And there's a part of me that wants to support them, but a part of me that's like not trying to de-escalate the whole time and just like, okay, when they're spiking, like, where does it go?
Right?
When they feel defeated, when they're hitting failure, like, are they resilient or are they just done for the year?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's an enemy, like, when they don't like someone, are they able to come around the corner and still see their perspective and how maybe they contributed to the conflict?
Yeah.
Or is it like, I'm just going to go eye gouge this person.
Right.
Because when you're mad at your wife, they're the worst enemy that you've ever seen. Because they've hurt you deeper than anyone's ever hurt you, your husband or wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, one day I'm going to be this person's enemy. And do they have rules of engagement?
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying to work through the conflict? Or are they just going for my eyes? So how they treat the person they hate most in that time of dating is probably going to be how they treat you at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, when you guys think about discovering people, what are some of the things that... And in that dating process, what are some of the things that you've learned, even like after coming out of a relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were to look back at your first relationship, are there things you wish you asked in your dating process? Are there things that you wished you like took as more heavy in terms of a red flag instead of overlooking?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really liked what you said. You should date them for, you know, at least a year. You know, during my divorce recovery, they also recommend date somebody for all four seasons of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did they celebrate Christmas with their family? How did they respond when their grandmother passes away?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, like, my grandmother did pass away when I started dating my ex-husband. And I remember feeling like he had very little empathy. He wasn't available because work was priority.
Oh my God.
You know, all work.
Over a death.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And she wasn't Christian. And so I was really mourning that. And here, you know, my ex, you know, wore a cross around his neck. He supposedly taught Sunday school. And I was like, where is the empathy, you know? And I think it's really important to go through a lot of different seasons, holidays, you know, how do they react when you're in crisis? Like, are they there for you? Like, how do they extend that empathy or that compassion? I want to see that. So not just the length, but really the hard parts of life too. Yep. And how do they celebrate with you? Like, do they dream with you? You know, do they want the same goals as you?
Yeah.
What did they want for themselves? How are they like with their coworkers? So it is important time and as well as different seasons.
That's really good.
Yeah. I remember I when I started dating you, I actually loved the fact that you had experienced therapy. That was what is it? A green flag?
Yeah.
The opposite of a red flag. That was a green flag for me.
And I like that you were a therapist.
That I was a
therapist. Hopefully you're emotionally available. Yeah.
I know. I, and the reason why I like the fact that you had experienced therapy and that you were continually open to receiving therapy is because it shows me that you see yourself as a work in progress, that you are not too proud to seek support for things that we need support for. And it, well, I mean, obviously it also validated my work, right? That my work is
valuable and important.
Yeah. So that's something that I think would be maybe a tip I can give to people is the person that you're interested in, how much do they work on themselves, not in a privatized way, oh, it's just me and God sort of thing.
Oh, that's pretty good.
But how, you know, do I seek counsel from other people? Do I invest energy to enrich my life and enrich myself? Am I humble enough to seek counsel from a professional? Those are, I think, great qualities in someone that you might be interested in. And, you know, I think you're talking about the eye gouging, Wilson. Having someone who really feels repentant for things that they did that hurt you or hurt another person, for them to own that and to say, I really hurt you, didn't I? I'm so sorry. And if they go to another level, which is to, you know, I really need to work on that. This is what I'm going to do to work on that. Like, that's a winner right there.
So,
you know, yes, of course, looks are important. Education is important. Money is important. All that stuff is great, you know, but if a person, doesn't know how to relate to you at a very basic humanity level, which is I really hurt you and I'm so sorry that I hurt you, and the apology now goes to action, you know, to really make amends for what they've done, I think that is a real mark that I probably wasn't looking for when I was desperate.
Yeah,
it's just, oh, are they cute? Do they like me back? Right, that's enough.
Yes.
You know, but it wasn't enough.
No, not at all. I think about one of the things I admire most about Nina, and especially in hindsight, looking at who I would want to date, she had this attribute that I never attributed to her when I was dating. I didn't think it was a big deal, and now it defines some of how I love her the most, is that she's willing to change. Like, we'll have a conflict and we both want to be better. We both want to not keep cycling back to the same conversation. Sometimes, I don't know if you see your parents, but it's like, How do you fight about the same thing for 30 years? Yep. How is that possible? How did you not find the off-ramp?
Yes.
And I think for me and Nina, it's like, we want to find off-ramps. If we're going to fight about something, let's fight about something new.
Yeah.
Not the same things.
That's right.
But then Nina, but the hard part about finding that off-ramp is that someone has to change.
Yeah.
Or else there's no off-ramp. And Nina is often willing to change first and make those efforts. And then you're just a loser if you can't change after the other person's changing, right? And I've always admired that about her. And I think if I were to go back and give advice to, you know, someone who's dating, I would say, are they willing to change when they see that they've done something wrong and really put effort against who they used to be? I think that is like a winner, like you said.
Totally.
And
totally.
Then the second thing I think about is like, I coined the term couch time. Mm-hmm. So I had my first girlfriend. She was amazing. She's getting a PhD in neuropsychology, MA in theology. She was a musician and got flown to places, wrote her own songs. She surfed. She played with autistic kids. She was a good cook. You know, just like all the boxes. Plus, she took an LSAT for fun and got like a 182, like a super high score. So she's just brilliant. I was such a fan of her. I loved talking about her and showing her off. But then when we got on the couch and we hung out for 2, 5, 7 hours, at the 5 to 7 hour mark, I'd be like, you know, and you do that day after day with someone, none of those accolades mean anything, right? It doesn't matter how pretty they are, how rich they are, how accomplished they are. It's just couch time, you know, and you're just with the other person's soul.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I want to be with your soul for 40 years?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Like, do I want to experience you outside of all of those things for 40 years? Mm-hmm. And I think when we were soul to soul in couch time for 7 hours in one day, I was like, oh, we're just missing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm goofy and I like to like be joyful. And she's like mellow yellow, you know, and artsy, like really artsy. I want to be the first at a party and the last to leave. She wants to be the last at a party and the first to leave. there are just things that we missed. And at hour 4 or 5, it didn't matter. But at hour 7 for the fourth day in a week, it grind. I feel like it was a grind. And so that's why we broke up. There was no good reason.
Right.
You know, it's like she made sense. She was a phenomenal worship leader.
Sure.
I'm a pastor. Yeah. But then I just like, oh, like it was just hard to hang out every day. And then I met Nina. And we hung out like one day. And I wanted to call her the next day to hang out. But I was like, 2 in a row is a lot.
You have to wait like a couple days.
Yeah. So then I hung out with her every other day for like 4 months. And I was like, I want to marry you. Because I remember there was a day where we did go back to back and I hung out 10 hours. And then I was going to pick her up for breakfast. Which meant like after dropping her off, I would brush my teeth, go to sleep and pick her up again.
Wow.
So I only had like 15 minutes of like consciousness in terms of being apart. But I was like really sad about those 15 minutes. I was like, I need to marry this girl so I can be with her as much as possible.
How did she respond to that?
She was scared, yeah.
This is like...
So I think I was turning 28 and I invited all my friends for a birthday party to impress her. We had only been dating for a few months, but I wanted her to be like, wow, you're so popular. And I was like really hammered that day. And I remember saying like, again, we're 3 months in, I was like, I started talking about marriage with her. And she was like, well, can we not talk about this in 3 months? But in her heart of hearts, she also knew that I was a stud.
I want her to confirm that.
Yeah.
This is why she's not at the table. So I can just make them stories. Yeah.
No, but you know, you talking about, you know, do I want to be doing couch time with this person in 40 years? You know, like...
For 40 years. Yeah.
It's a question that I ask people in my counseling sessions, you know, like if they are dating someone or if they're even engaged, you know, I'd be asking them, would you marry this person as is?
Yeah.
And some of them are quick to answer no.
Mm.
And so we come to the conclusion that they're kind of hoping for revival. They're hoping for the potential of this person to be actualized one day. If they're spiritual, they're kind of saying, well, maybe, you know, the Lord told me that he's going to change or she's going to change. I'm like, okay, maybe, but I kind of doubt it.
Or he can change with God's help.
Yeah, or that the person can change with God's help. I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe can, but what if they don't? So you're going to be perpetually in this state of want, and that person's going to sense it from you that mm-hmm. you that they don't,
they're not good enough.
They're not good enough. You don't mm-hmm. measure up yet. And so I don't, you know, that's a question that I would pose to the listeners too. If there's someone that you're dating and they, you know, would you marry this person as is? And if the if your quick answer is no, you might want to have some heart-to-hearts with some close confidants of yours. Say, is this really the person that you want to, you know, to marry?
Yeah, I think in the Adulting Journal, me and my mentor wrote, we kind of rephrased the question very similarly. Mm-hmm. We said, is what you're experiencing now in dating something you're willing to experience for the rest of your life?
Right.
Like mm-hmm. the way she or he gets angry.
Right.
Are you willing to experience that for the rest of your life? And someone's always more angry in marriage than they are dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or their vibe, or, you know, all the things. I think when you get married, you get more of what you have now. For good and
like
the
an
good
extreme,
parts of them,
more extreme version.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the bad parts of
that's
them.
Right.
Everything's on earth.
That's
and
right.
Is that what you're okay living with?
Yeah.
And I also, when you were talking, I thought about like, I feel like our marriage is good because we're friends. Like, I think friendship should be at the core of it instead of I was so attracted to you, right? And I think about like my friendships. I'm not trying to change them, right? Like I enjoy them as they are now.
Right.
And if I want to change them, it's like, maybe we're not that close, or I don't want to be that close.
Right.
So
that's right.
Yeah, I think at the heart of it, you know, people always say like, I love you, but I don't like you, right? Mm. Like, I like you, right?
I like you.
Yeah.
Too.
Like
they're
I
making
want...
so much eye contact. I'm just no. I'm just watching them love each other.
There needs to be a genuine affection, a genuine friendship at the heart of a good dating relationship, a good marriage.
This enjoyment of each other.
Right.
And in this really consistent and almost permanent way. Because
mm-hmm.
I think with couch time, it's like, I have like dozens and dozens of female friends and like hundreds of friends, right? But there's no friend that I want to hang out with every day for 9 hours.
Right, right.
And to be able to find someone where you're like, I want to hang out with you every day for 9 to 12 hours. I mean, I just think that's like a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
And when you find that person that you enjoy being with at that level, I just feel like, man, go marry them, you know? So, and that's what you're talking about, Jen. It's like that sense of friendship.
Yeah.
You like being with them.
Right.
You enjoy their company. And there's not, you're not hoping for something
right.
else out
and
of them.
And you're not going to find this friend unless you go out and date, right?
Like yes.
You have to...
So I do want to circle back to your reading of that book,
mm-hmm.
the Cloud book.
Yes.
Like what's the premise of that book?
So, you know, I love the opening of the book because it talks about a lot of people expect the perfect date, the perfect spouse to land on their doorstep, like the way that the UPS guy delivers
Amazon
a package
yeah.
to you. And they're like, you know what? If God has the right person for me, I'm just going to pray hard enough. And unless they show up at my doorstep, I'm not going to do anything about it.
Oh,
and I actually have heard that for a lot of female Christians. You know, I'm just going to pray, and unless he shows up, I'm not going to do anything.
Oh, I've heard guys say that too.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's so unhealthy.
It sounds spiritual though.
It does, right? Like, God, I don't need eHarmony because God is my matchmaker,
mm-hmm.
right? But if you think about it, like, you put so much effort in getting into a good college, you put so much effort in finding a good job. How is dating any different? You have to put in that effort. Right? Maybe online dating is not for you, but there are avenues of meeting people, of doing something outside of your comfort zone, of going to, you know, that church event or you know, joining a meetup to do whatever hobby. Like, you have to put yourself out there. And I think I've talked to people, they're like, I'm just so tired of dating apps. Fine, then don't do dating apps. You don't have to go to a bar, but like everything else in life, there needs to be effort on your part. And I wish the younger me knew that too. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, I wasn't a risk taker, and it wasn't until post-divorce, you know, I never dated, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy getting to know people for who they are. And my friends would be like, if anything, go get a free drink, go get a free meal. Right? Like, it doesn't matter. And, you know, maybe like in picture, I wasn't like super attracted to the guy, but my group of friends would be like, who cares? Go out and practice. I mean, not using anybody, but practice your social skills, right? Mm. Like, you get better at interviewing by doing interviews. So go out and talk to somebody. Like, what are your skills like asking, you know, learn how to ask questions, learn how to listen. I do think dating is a skill you can develop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of your practical tips, if I'm hearing you, is like putting yourself out there and being willing to go on dates.
With somebody who may not match your initial, like, checklist. Mm. Like, you know, maybe he's not a certain height, or maybe he doesn't have this type of career or look a certain way, but you don't know. Just go out there, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that was really hard for me to do post-divorce, but, you know, I had fun in the process, and I did meet some, like, nice people. I mean, it was successful because, you know, it didn't end up in marriage, but I had fun, you know?
Mm. So here's a popular dilemma that people find themselves in, right? Which is they're not attracted to anyone at work. They refuse to date anyone at church because what if we break up?
Right.
You know, then it's going to be super awkward at church. They don't want to go on any setups. They don't want to do any dating apps. Basically, they are
becoming
a hermit. They're 2020 COVID.
Yeah.
And they don't want to like meet anyone at a bar.
Okay.
You know, they don't want to approach
what
anyone.
What do you want to do?
So yeah. So basically they're just stuck in no man's land.
And
right?
They're complaining about, I can't find anyone.
So you know, my tip is like, okay, yes, you hate dating apps, but there's got to be it's a ready-made way for you to meet someone who's also stating to you that they're looking for someone, right? You don't have, there's, unless they're a liar, but you know, that's a viable option. Go on a setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, with just an open attitude, or you know, like some people would say, I think you and I talked about this before. We talked about like LARPing, right? Remember?
So yeah, you know, action role play.
Yeah, you could go back to a previous episode where we talked about LARPing, but you know, like there are certain people who feel like, oh man, no one at my church likes LARPing, you know, and so you know, I'll never find someone. Like, dude, no, you got to find someone at a LARPing event, you know,
yeah.
Or you just kind of casually, you know, mingle with other people who are in this, you know, have the same mind as you, same interests as you, and just maybe first become friends with them,
right,
and then do the Eagle approach that Wilson, you know, I love the way that you LARP. I think you're so cute.
Level 2000 so awesome. Wizard.
Let's go out for, you know, a goblet.
You know? Yes.
Yeah. Right.
At so, the local tavern.
Yeah. You know. So, see, like, you know, you got to go to the places where
other humans are,
or your interests, you know, intersect. You know, go to Comic-Con, go mm-hmm. to LARPing, go to these places, but you can't just sit at home saying, oh, there's no one to date.
Or God, bring him to me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, like, that I don't think it's going to work that way.
Yeah, I love that. I think my suggestion, exactly the same lines, is just make as many friends as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really in the flirty friendships that you find your best friend dash, you know, husband or wife. So yeah, I think just going out to network and to just throw feelers out there. You know, if you're interested in someone enough to grab coffee, just go for a friendship coffee and see where that goes.
Yeah.
Or if you see them flirting, just flirt back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that really opens up, you know, those options and relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Jen and Roy. Really grateful for your insights on dating. Hope that was helpful to the listener. And remember to get out there and meet some humans.
LARPing.
LARPing. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Oh my God.
Hi, this is Wilson again. Thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast and spending time on the same boat with us. I'm wondering if you have a friend or family member that you thought of when you were listening to this podcast. We would love for you to share it with them and leave a 5-star review to help folks find our podcast. And while I have you here, Roy, Kim, and I created a few other resources we'd love to share with you. Roy has 2 other podcasts that you can find in the description section, alongside of an online course to help guide sexual addiction accountability groups. I have a podcast with 5 years worth of sermons, but I'd only recommend the last 2, and a link to a picture book series integrating faith and occupation, as well as an adulting journal. We hope that these books and journals would help fund a foster camp that we host every year, every new church. If you enjoyed our voice and stories on this podcast, then we'd love for you to check out the other work we've done. Thanks again.